Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of my two-part interview with Apple Crider. Now, if you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up. Apple Crider is the CEO and co-founder of Podblade, which helps podcasters do what they do best, record episodes. I mean, you can send the files to Podblade. They'll handle the editing, the show notes, everything, so that you can go ahead and do what you do best, and that's record. Praise the Lord. He has a mission in life to empower 100,000 young people to live a life that makes them feel fulfilled and excited each and every day. He's been listed as a top 100 podcaster, and his business podcast, Young Smart Money, is just awesome. He's interviewed highly successful 6 and 7 and even 8-figure online entrepreneurs. We're going to get started today by asking him some questions about, you know, how he came up with the concept to get this business off the ground, how he's been able to promote it. Folks, get out your notepad, get out your paper, because he is dropping value bomb after value bomb. You are going to enjoy this episode. Let's jump right into the interview with Apple Crider.
The marketplace right now, and even back then, was charging like $80 to $100 a podcast episode to get edited. Yeah. And him and I being like 20, 19 years old, like there's no way, like I can't afford to invest 4 figures a month into my podcast. Like, we just don't have the budget for that. Our show's not making that much money. So that's not really realistic. But there's so many people out there who are doing podcasts as a side hustle or kind of just on the side, and are looking for some kind of way to take stuff off their plate. So we were like, let's be that. Like, let's fill that need in the market, because right now those people are not getting served. So we decided, you know what, we're going to make this work. We're going to make it work at a $20 per episode price point. That was our vision. We're like, you know, let's be a fifth of the competition in terms of price and deliver 5 times as much. So we do audio, we do video, we do social media posts, all for $20. Whereas the other guys, $80 to $100, and all you're getting is audio. So that was the vision. And then about a year ago, we started really like looking into that, testing the concepts, and really building out the infrastructure. And so once we launched it, it was just kind of like growing like wildfire. People telling their friends, and word of mouth just spreading, because there's nobody else doing what we do at the level that we do it. So that's kind of a little bit of a long story in terms of how we got started, but that's kind of where Podblade came from.
Amen. And that's the main ingredient in entrepreneur success: find a need and fill it.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. Amen. So your co-founder, Ram Raviv, how did you two meet?
He was a listener of my show, actually, longtime listener, from pretty much day one. He was listening to Young Smart Money. And so we were consistently talking. He would always reach out, ask me questions. I helped him start his own show, probably about 6 months after I started mine. And so we'd just been in constant communication. But yeah, once he started working with my editor, he was the one who was like, yo, like we gotta show this to more people, because this is crazy cool. Like, this is really, really valuable. And so that's kind of where that came from.
Amen. Let's talk about the major problem that most podcasters have, which we've talked a little bit about, which is time. I mean, as we explained before we started the recording, you know, I know my days are booked out. I mean, there's the interview, you know, research, the answering emails, preparing for the interviews, conducting the interviews. Then, as I explained, I also have the online radio station, Evangelism Radio. So I also have emails all about that all day long, plus scheduling and edits and loading servers and all of that. Add in the podcast training program, and then editing the podcast interviews, loading those to the host platform, promoting them. And I mean, I'm tired just talking about it right now. You don't really stop and think about it until you actually hear your own voice say all the stuff you do. But I know most people don't do those things, but I do. But they all have, everyone has their own unique busy schedules. And I know many podcasters who have full-time jobs and then do podcasting as well. So, you know, we talk about my good friend, Sean Douglas, you know, active duty Air Force and all the responsibilities that entails. Plus, he's a conference speaker and he has his radio program and podcast as well. So I guess the point I'm trying to make, everyone is busy. So how do you and your team at Podblade help people like me and others that I just described get back time?
It's a great question. And time, as I'm beginning to realize more and more, I mean, that's the non-renewable resource. I mean, like, money comes and goes and everything else does as well. But time, like, that's the clock's ticking, you know, the clock is ticking and we only have so much time on this planet. So it's making the most of it is really important. So, and I mean, that's where we come in too. I mean, if you can save yourself 4 or 5 hours by not having to do any of the post-production work on your podcast for $20, like, it's kind of a no-brainer. And I've been thinking a lot more about, like, how much is my time worth? And I think that's a really important question for people to ask themselves is, like, how much is your time worth? Like, do you value your time at $10 an hour? You value it at 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 200, 5,000, who knows? But, like, thinking about that question is really powerful because it's so useful in thinking about in terms of stuff like, do you mow the lawn yourself or do you hire the neighbor kid for $20 to do it? Like, how much do you value that hour at? Like, would you rather spend that hour with your kids, with your family, with whoever, or would you rather spend it mowing the lawn? Like, that's a question that we're facing on such a regular basis, whether we like to admit it or not. So answering that question is really important. And so once people answer that question, then it's just a matter of, okay, how can I get my time back for a cost that is less than how much I value it at? So that's kind of where we come in. I mean, honestly, like the average podcaster, we're probably saving them, like 4 or 5 hours per episode in terms of just creating the promotional materials, in terms of writing the show notes, in terms of editing the podcast, which can take hours, depending on how long the show is, how intensive the editing is. Like, this is a huge time saver for people. And again, at $20, most people do tend to value their time more than $5 an hour. And if you don't, I mean, I would kind of reevaluate what you're doing with your time, because your time is definitely worth more than $5 an hour, no matter where you're at in life. If you're listening to this podcast right now, I can guarantee you your time is worth more than $5 an hour, because I mean, you could do online surveys and make $10 an hour. Like I mean, there's so many opportunities right in front of us. So, that's kind of where we come in. I mean, thinking about how much is your time worth and then finding ways to buy it back for less than that. It's kind of just like a buy low, sell high kind of deal, you know, like, and so that's kind of the philosophy that I live by as well, in terms of just like, all right, my time is worth X number of dollars. How can I buy it back so that I can use it for the things I love, like spending time with the people I love and doing things that I love, and kind of getting those menial tasks off the plate.
Amen. Amen. Now, recently I was blessed when you wanted me to be included in an article you wrote called 43 Podcasters Speak Out. What's one thing you wish you knew before starting a podcast? And my section of that article was about creating systems and using them to grow your podcast. And it took me probably 2+ years to figure out how to use social media, even beginning to be effective in social media in that area, because I spent most of my time on the creating and editing phase and then just put a post out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, the download numbers weren't really all that impressive until, like I said, about a year ago, when I decided, you know, this isn't working. Why isn't it working? What can I do different? And now I'm seeing the growth, not the massive growth. You know, I mean, I don't have millions of downloads per episode yet, but, you know, I mean, we're doing a whole lot better than we were 2 years ago, put it like that. But yeah. Do you see that a lot in the people that you help?
Yeah. I mean, I think that the growth is always, it's always a process. I mean, there's never a point where you've made it. Right. But the people who are consistent are the people who see results. I mean, that's just plain and simple. Like, if you're showing up on a consistent basis, if people know, like, oh, I can count on Robert for an episode every single week at this time in this place, like, this is where I catch him. If you give people that expectation and you continuously deliver extreme amounts of value or whatever you're proposing to give to people, like, that's when people see the results. And people who are just kind of fly by night, one episode here, gone for a few months, one episode here, like, those are the people who kind of get lost, you know, because more and more podcasts are starting every single day, every single week, every single month, and more dedicated people are starting shows. And so if you aren't up to that bar, if you aren't keeping up with the other people around you, like, you're going to get drowned out. I mean, I think podcasting is far from saturated, but people only have 24 hours in their day, you know, and you can listen to podcasts on 2x speed or whatever. But even then, there's only so much time in the day to listen to podcasts. So you have to make sure that you're consistently delivering more value than people expect, because if you do, people will come back. But if you don't, if people are listening to your show and then it's gone or they're disappointed or whatever, that's kind of when you lose people. And honestly, it's just a matter of integrating yourself into someone's daily or weekly routine, and just becoming a part of it. Because I know that there are really only 4, 5, 6 podcasts that I listen to, but I listen to every single episode of them, and I'm always looking forward to the next one. And so if you can get in that 4, 5, 6 group for somebody and for lots of people, that's kind of where the growth really is in podcasting.
Yep. Amen. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And inconsistency lies the key, because yep. You know, before we started the recording, I was telling you my first year, you know, I was due recording this month and none for 2 months, then 2, and then maybe none for another month and all that. So I don't even count that year, really, because yeah. it was just hit and miss. But once I started doing it consistently, and it started off on a weekly basis, mm-hmm. and it got, you know, more and more popular, and I was doing more and more recordings that, you know, I didn't want to do a recording in January and have it published in June.
Exactly.
So, you know, well, let's bump this to 3x a week. And then it was 5 days a week. And that keeps me now on a consistent publishing basis, but it also allows people to know, oh, every single, you know, Monday through Friday, there's a new episode coming out, mm-hmm. you know, and that has helped the growth aspect as well. You know, I listened to one of your podcast episodes about bootstrapping a startup. Mm. How can someone who's just starting out, I mean, you were what, 19 when you started? How can someone who's just starting out really in life have the ability to do that?
Yeah, I mean, dude, with the just extreme proliferation of information on the internet, it's absurd how much you can learn for free about whatever you want. And so many people, they just have these internal limitations on themselves of, oh, I could never do that, or that's not really for me. But the biggest thing that I have come to learn, and I mentioned this at the very beginning of the episode, but I am somebody who is constantly striving to get outside my comfort zone. I am always trying new things. I, about 48 hours ago, I got back from a 10-day silent meditation retreat, which I never, when I signed up for the thing, I never meditated before in my life. and so that was very uncomfortable. I'm going to Thailand on a one-way ticket in about 7 days, and planning on spending about 2 to 3 months in Southeast Asia. I've really? Never really been out of the country on my own. I've never traveled solo, but I'm just getting out of my comfort zone. I'm going to learn a lot. And so I'm someone who's constantly, it doesn't have to be that extreme, given I'm a pretty extreme person, I would say, but it can be little stuff. I mean, I randomly showed up to a swing dancing event on campus one time, and I loved it so much that the next semester I was an instructor for the swing dance club at my school. And so just like constantly trying new things. Okay, like if you think you might be interested in, I don't know, starting to sell stuff on Etsy, like just try it. I mean, it's free. Like just try doing it and see what happens. Like, give it some time. I mean, a lot of people, they'll try something for like a week or two and they'll say, right. Oh, it doesn't work. And then they're done. Right. So you have to give it some time. And I like to think about life in terms of seasons. And when I say seasons, I mean kind of like, yeah, 3-ish months of dedicating yourself to one thing. Okay. And so you pick, say you want to start making crafts and selling them on Etsy. Great. Dedicate your time to that for 3 months and learn as much as you can, and then do and learn and do and kind of alternate between the two, because a lot of people as well, they'll get stuck in the learning trap where they're just taking in information for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they never do anything with it. And it's like you can read hundreds and thousands of books, but if you don't actually do anything at all with the stuff that you learned in those books, then what was the point? I mean, sure, like you get some intellectual entertainment, but if you're not taking that forward with you into your life and doing something with it, I fail to see the purpose of that. So it's really all about being consistent, dedicating yourself to something for at least 1, 2, 3 months, where you're continuously alternating between learning, doing, learning, doing, learning, doing. That's like the secret that I have found in the last 2 years of my relatively short life. That's where the growth happens. I mean, that's really what I found, and that's what I believe. And so, if you're not showing up consistently, if you're not dedicating yourself to something for longer than a couple weeks, then you're not going to see the results. I mean, that's just, it's just kind of the way it works.
Yeah. Amen. Learn and implement. Just learn one step. Where am I at right now? What is the next step?
Yep.
Learn about that next step, then implement it. And then once you have that step established, you do the same thing. After a year, you look back and say, whoa, I've come a long way in 1 year, you know?
Yep.
But if you're always like, well, I just don't know what to do, I don't have the time to look at it, then you're going to stay right where you're at or regress the opposite way.
And exactly. If you're standing at the bottom of a mountain, you can't plan out your entire route to climb the mountain before you've even taken a step. You know, it's like, right. take a step. And then after a few thousand steps, you look back and you're like, wow, like I've come a pretty long way. Like just like you said.
Yep. Yeah. I used to, run all the time. I'd be bored on Saturday and go for a 10-mile run because I had nothing else to do. But when I started running, I couldn't go half a mile. And it was always, okay, I went this far today. I'm going to sprint to that next telephone pole. And that was my goal, telephone pole to telephone pole. And over the course of time, it got, 26.2 miles, but it was just do the next step, And that's how you grow. And, I know in podcasting, and I've shared this in conference settings before, podcasting, in my opinion, is about in the position where FM radio was back in the 1970s. I mean, back then, FM was a unique new thing. You had to special order an FM radio for a car, all right? And the only places that played FM music was in elevators, maybe a doctor's office every now and then. But the popularity started to grow, and it became a main source of radio broadcasting. And actually, it's replacing AM radio. Podcasting has only really been around about 15 years, but has not really started to really take off until about 3-4 years ago. And I think I've seen the growth rate, and so I read somewhere it's like 15-20% per year. Right now, and just going up even more every year. And I said all that to ask your opinion on this. Should someone have a podcast if they wanted to start or grow a business, either online, social media, traditional, whatever? Would a podcast be a modern way of promoting their business?
I think that's a great question. And I'm always very hesitant to give like blanket statements, especially, even in the field of podcasting where clearly I'm super passionate about it and I'm very pro podcasting. But I think one, just to give some more context, there are approximately right now, there are about 2,000 YouTube channels to every podcast. So if you think podcasting is crowded, look at YouTube, and then you'll see what crowded looks like. So I think in terms of, and there's so much attention on podcasting too, but I think it really just comes down to the awareness of yourself and like, where do you perform best? Okay. Like, are you an avid writer? Like, do you just love writing things? Like if so, then a blog is probably going to be better for you than a podcast. But if you're somebody who, is comfortable getting behind the mic and, either talking to someone or kind of just giving a little lecture yourself, I think podcasting is such a great opportunity, and there's so much open space. There's only about 50% of Americans that listen to podcasts right now. So, and that's not even on a weekly basis, that's on a monthly basis. So there's so much room to grow. And so even if you haven't started yet, there's so much time for you to really carve out some market share for yourself and really just build something wonderful in the world of podcasting that I would say, like, if you're comfortable with it, I would do it. And the great thing about podcasting too is like, you can take a podcast and then you can turn it into a blog post and then you can turn it into a YouTube video and you can do all these things with this one piece of content that just make it so versatile. You can make dozens of social media posts from it. You can do all this different stuff. You can cut it into shorter segments. You can do so many things with a podcast. It's so versatile that as long as you're comfortable getting behind the mic and talking, and even if you're not, man, like, just getting those reps in and practicing and practicing and practicing, that's where the growth comes in. And I'm just such a huge advocate of podcasting that, like, I think for like 90% of people, it's like perfect.
Hey man. You talk about learning, getting your voice, getting repetition, all that. probably about 6-7 months ago, I went back and listened to some of the first episodes that I ever did. Oh my God. Why anybody would have listened to those episodes, I have no clue. Golly. I was like, can I just delete these? And I said, no, they're there. I'm going to. But
yeah, it shows the growth. It shows the growth.
Boy. Now, I know, you know, we have a lot of Christian listeners as well as church leaders, et cetera, listen to the program. And I know their time is extremely taxed. And your company and your services would benefit them immensely because, I mean, a lot of church leaders, pastors have their sermons recorded.
Yeah.
And find a place to host them. And I've been emphasizing to them they need to have a podcast, you know, hosting platform so they can have them hosted there, and then they're there forever and anyone can find them and listen to them at any time. They can promote their own little, you know, website there for the podcast and all of that. Now, your company, your services definitely would benefit them because that's one of the main reasons I hear as well, I just don't have the time to do something like that. So again, your company would save them time, correct?
Exactly. And we do. We work with a couple churches and other organizations that, yeah, do have their sermons recorded and then turned into podcasts. And it's a really effective way to continue to spread the word.
Yep. Because what I tell you, our radio station in its growth stage, I can be on the radio at an affordable price. And the thing with the radio broadcast, let's say this church XYZ had a 7:30 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday time slot on the radio. All right, well, I'll put it in the middle of the day, say 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And someone couldn't make it to church for whatever reason, but they're going to listen to the radio broadcast. And, you know, they're at a doctor's appointment and they're listening in the waiting room and, you know, wow, this is really a good sermon. I'm glad I'm listening to it. And then they get called to the back. Guess what happens? They turn off the radio to go in the back. Well, on a radio platform, just like on a traditional radio station, you're in the back, you come back out of the doctor's office at 4 o'clock, you go to turn it back on, there's an entirely different program on, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the drawbacks of the radio, but it's also one of the advantages. But you know, a podcast, if they're listening to the podcast on the ministry website or whatever, and they pause it, they go in the back, they come back out at 4 o'clock, they pick it right up where they left off. They haven't missed one word. And, you know, so that's one of the advantages on that. And now, what advice could you give someone who is thinking about starting a podcast, but they're not really sure if anybody will even listen to what they have to say?
I get that all the time. And I think the most important thing to think about is just like, what is your unique, what are you bringing to the table? You know, cause it's about what you say just as much as it's about how you say it, because there are so many podcasts, there are so many people saying the same thing, but even if you line up five people who are saying the exact same words to me, one of them is probably really going to resonate with me, whereas a different one is probably going to resonate well with you, Robert, and a different one's going to resonate with somebody else and somebody else. So if you're worried that somebody else is already in that space talking about those things, that's you're missing half the point, okay? Because different people resonate with different people. Like younger people resonate better with me, whereas older people look at me and they're like, what can this kid know? Like he's only 21 years old. Like I'm 47. Like he doesn't know Jack. Like, so I think it's really important to just recognize that like different people resonate with different people. And regardless of whether or not the information is similar or the topic is similar, there's room for you as long as you're bringing your unique spin to the table and kind of leaning into your quirks and like, what are the things that make you different? Like those are the things that you should lean into. Like, don't try to be like whoever 2.0, like try to be you 1.0, like make sure that you are really leaning into what makes you, you, and not just trying to be the next, whoever you look up to.
Yeah, amen. Amen. That's a good point. Apple, if someone wanted to ask you a question to get more information, or maybe even ask you to do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, thank you, Robert. I appreciate it. There's a whole number of ways to do so. I mean, if you search Apple Crider on Google, you'll find my Instagram, my Facebook, my LinkedIn, whatever, YouTube. So you can just shoot me a message wherever, honestly. It's all pretty standard. Or if you want to shoot me an email, apple@applecrater.com is the best way to get a hold of me there. But yeah, I mean, I look forward to hearing from from you guys. And if you just have any questions, comments, clarifiers, I'm more than willing to help out and lend my time wherever I can.
Amen. And the website for Podblade is podblade.com, correct?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Folks, you know, I love talking to people who are successful and want to share with you how you can become successful as well. And there are many people out there who only want to share a few tips with you. I mean, they don't really want you to learn all the steps because they fear the competition. Apple Crider, I'm sure you figured out by now, is not like that. He wants to share with you how to be successful. He's here to help you achieve your dreams and your goals, business related, podcast related, online, social media related. He not only has accomplished more in just a few years than most people would in a lifetime, he's helping others achieve the same. So if you have a podcast, you need to go over and listen to his podcast also, Young Smart Money. You also need to check out his company, podblade.com, and see how he can help you to grow your podcast by taking some of the work off of your plate. I mean, you can't afford to do it all on your own and learn as you go. Use the experts. Contact Apple Crider today by going down below in the links, down in the show notes, and click the link. Get in touch with them. Ask them a question. Look around on the website. See how you can benefit by contacting him and utilizing his wisdom, his knowledge, and his team that he's put together for that express purpose of helping you grow. Apple, thank you again for coming on the program today and sharing. I do appreciate it.
Robert, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate your time.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Apple Crider and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.